batter will be one of their power hitters, Seth Brown.
Hit well to left field. Benintendi going back, turning around, and that baby's gone.
Oakland A's with the win yesterday over the Royals. Final score 4-0, as the Royals are now 23-42 on the season. Shutout for the ninth time this year, as they managed just 3 hits yesterday, 2 from MJ Melendez, 5 walks, a hit batsman. Andrew Benintendi reached on error. Royals stranded 11, went 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. That gets you shut out 9 times out of 10. But they did take 2 out of 3 from the A's. It's the first time that the Royals have won a series since May 13th at Colorado. The Royals still have not swept the team this season. And the good news is starting rotation pitched pretty well so far on the West Coast trip. And the series in particular, Daniel Lynch struck out 10 in 5 innings and a win on Friday 5-1. Brad Keller was dominant on Saturday, 7 innings, allowed 1 hit, struck out 6. And Brady Singer was solid through 5 1/3 and kept his team in it. The rotation's ERA through 6 games on the West Coast trip is just over 3. So perhaps a silver lining in what is a dark season for the Royals. They'll be back in action tonight, as they'll take on the Angels at 8:38, first pitch. Chris Bubich will get the start for the Royals. And speaking of the Royals, Lorenzo Cain, former Royal, who's with the Brewers, he was designated for assignment over the weekend. The Brewers allowed him to get 10 years of Major League service so he can get a pension. And that means if you've been in the leagues for 10 years, you get a monthly pension, which is going to be about $7,500 a year once he retires, although he technically has not retired. Many people say the Royals should sign him or at least make it to where he retires officially as a Royal, which I would be all for that. Lorenzo Cain, you could argue, was the best player on the team when they won the World Series in 2015. His defense in center field, of course, some timely hitting, outstanding running, and I'll never forget Game 6 of the LCS in Kansas City. I was there watching that one, going, oh no, we blew the lead. And then Hosmer hits one to right field, and Cain scored from first all the way around the bases home on a single. As they knew Jose Bautista did not know how to properly throw to a cutoff man. And the Royals studied that, saw that flaw, and Cain never did hesitate, running as hard as he could from first to home as soon as the ball was hit. Read it perfectly, one of the great plays. Of course, he had tremendous plays in center field, robbing many, many big leaguers of home runs and extra base hits, dives into the alleys, jumps over the wall. And Lorenzo Cain is a guy that got a late start in his Major League Baseball career as well. He was interviewed by some local reporters there in Milwaukee after he was designated for assignment. It was a mutual decision by the Brewers and Lorenzo Cain, and here's part of that interview.
If it is the end or whether you continue on, the resume that you've put together as a baseball player?
Yeah, I mean, the kid that, you know, from Madison County that showed up and, you know, didn't have a glove or a bat, cleats, any of that. You know, I kind of had to borrow everything from the very beginning. And to say that I've, you know, played 10 plus years in the show, you know, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more. So it's been a great ride for me, fun ride. I put a lot of work in, put his body through a lot over the years. So at the same time, I think the body's definitely ready to rest a little bit for sure.
Well, I don't know if I ever got to ask you this. What was your first day at baseball practice like? Do you remember?
I don't know. Yeah, I ended up, I had a collared shirt on, some jean shorts, and and I think some basketball shoes back then. That was my very first practice I showed up to. Like I said, I didn't have any cleats, glove, or anything. I borrowed everything from the very beginning. And I've had great people in my life to kind of push me, who's helped me out a lot from my high school days all the way up to now. So I've definitely been very fortunate. Been blessed to play as long as I did. And like I said, if it's the end, you know, can't really be upset about anything.
Well, you can't. I mean, this is a guy that was a late bloomer, and he was part of the Zach Greinke trade that changed the Royals organization forever and allowed them to have Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, who, by the way, Cain and Escobar went on to win ALCS MVPs in those respective years in 14 and 15. And I am forever grateful for Lorenzo Cain for what he was able to accomplish. And the other thing, too, he was always a guy that was pretty clutch. Like, when he came up to the plate, he was going to give you a great at-bat. I remember the Matt Harvey game where Matt Harvey and the Mets were rolling and they decided to bring him back for the ninth. It was Lorenzo Cain who had an at-bat where he he forced the walk. He just was so patient, and he was able to, I mean, just knew the strike zone so well and got on base. And it just kept the line moving. And so Lorenzo Gain, a Gold Glover defensively, should have won more than, I think he won one here with the Brewers, but he should have won more than one. And he was a guy with tremendous speed. He had some injury problems from time to time, no doubt. But a guy, when he was on the field, gave it 100%. And I wish him nothing but the best. And he's 36. He didn't say officially that he's retired, but at the same time, it does kind of sound like he's ready to let his body rest.
Yeah, he actually used the words "let his body rest" a little bit,
but not retire.
Not retire. How many base hits did he dump over the second baseman's head into right center field? I would love to see how many of those were right in that little Bermuda Triangle. But yeah, definitely one of Kansas City's favorites, and you know, probably definitely going to have a, you know, his number retired by Kansas City or whatever they, that ceremony put up on the wall or whatever they do there. So, yeah, definitely one of Kansas City's favorites there.
Highly respected with the Brewers. In fact, they were getting on base over the weekend. They were doing the hands up thing that Kane always would do and get on base, and highly respected, a leader in the clubhouse. And so he was respected not only in Kansas City, but in Milwaukee. There's really nobody has anything bad to say about Lorenzo Cain. And, you know, you look at his numbers, they don't blow you away in regards to the most homers he hit in a season was 16. He had 87 in his career. Most RBIs he had, 72 in a season, 454. That's nothing great. He was pretty patient at the plate. He'd walk. He did strike out some. He struck out over 100 times three different years, although 100 times now is nothing in baseball. Actually pretty good. Stolen bases. I always thought he could steal more bases if he was allowed to. The most he stole in a season was 30 back in 2018 with the Brewers. 2018 with the Brewers was a great year for me at 308, 30 stolen bases, 10 homers, 38 RBIs. He played 141 games and came through crunch time a few times when the Brewers made the playoffs as well. Of course, with the Royals, it was a matter of can he stay healthy? Because in 2013, played 115 games. 2014, 133 games. 2015, when they won it all, 140 games. That was the most games he played for the Royals until 2017. He played 155. 2016, just 103. But 2015, he hit 307 with the Royals when they won the World Series. Let's see, how many stolen bases did he have here? 28 stolen bases, only caught stealing six times. He had 16 homers, 72 RBIs. That was his best home run RBI season in his career. 34 doubles, so he had extra base power. Of course, his speed helped too. And he scored 101 runs, and that was the most runs he scored in a season in the big league. So he's not going to be a Baseball Hall of Famer. I don't know. I mean, to me, he should be a Royals Hall of Famer. Right. Because you can do whatever you want as an organization, whoever you want to put in there. Whether they have strict rules about certain statistics, I don't know. I would guess not. But Lorenzo Cain and many of those guys that won the World Series in 2015 and were part of the team in 14 and went to Game 7 are probably going to be in the Royals Hall of Fame. I mean, obviously, Salvi's going to be, Hosmer's going to be, Moustakas is going to be, there's Wade Davis is going to be, I think Greg Holland is going to be in there too, and certainly Lorenzo Cain. Alcides Escobar will more than likely be in there. Alex Gordon will definitely be in there. That's a no-brainer. He'll be in there. Pretty much almost all the guys that started except for your right fielder, because he had Aoki in 14 and he had Rios in 15. For the most part, you know, Zobrist won't because he wasn't there long enough. But other than those two guys, pretty much everybody else that started for that team in 14 and 15, those back-to-back World Series appearances and then winning it all in 15. And then you think about the pitching, you know, I don't think there's really necessarily a starting pitcher that's going to be in there for the Royals. But the bullpen, of course, you got to say it's going to be Davis and Holland and Herrera. You can't forget that, HDH. Although HDH turned into Madsen in place of Holland because Holland blew out his arm there late in 14. So good times and hard to believe. I got to think about this last night. I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's been seven years.
I know.
It's been 7 years. I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah.
But my oldest was just 9. He's close to being 16, so it all adds up.
I'll say that those two Royals teams really kind of helped. I wasn't watching as much baseball as I used to at around that time. Cubs were on the backside of their tanking, and it just wasn't that much fun. But then they come around, and they were kind of always the American League team. You could always listen to them on the radio back home and stuff like that. And we went to vacation a couple times there, and got to go to a few Royals games over time. And so they were always, you know, team paid attention to, or my American League team, so to speak. And then they kind of had that run, and you know, saw my friends that were Royals fans. They were having fun towards the end. I'm like, well, you know, all right, we'll watch them in those playoff runs. And then about that time, that's when the Cubs started getting better. So yeah, it really kind of helped kind of re-spark baseball for me a little bit, and Lorenzo Cain's a big part of that. And congratulations to him. I mean, he sounds like he's at peace with what's going on. And so many times for some of these players, they think they got more and it doesn't end, you know, they're surprised by a cut or a trade and it doesn't end well and it doesn't end pretty and they're mad. And it doesn't sound that way with Lorenzo, and I hope that's true and he can be at peace with whatever comes next, whether that's a couple weeks off and then try to find a team, or if it's over, it's over. And he kind of sounds like at peace either way. But congratulations to Lorenzo Cain for a pretty solid career.
And a bit of a late bloomer, no doubt about it. Him telling the story of when he showed up, this and that and whatever else, and what he was dressed in. And yeah. I mean, that's a good story. The KBCA Basketball All-Star Games took place in Salina at Kansas Wesleyan's Maybe Arena, and the gold team beat the blue in the girls' game 96-85. Talon Mitchell at Smith Center for the blue with 12 points and 6 rebounds, so played very well. In the boys' game, the gold lost to the blue 95-89. Concordia's Cav Carlgren was on the gold. He had 4 points. A full recap of those KBCA All-Star games are posted at ncksports.com. All right, time for a Cubs update brought to you by, well, I don't know. Jason Broadfoot's going to tell you, though.
Pizzeria Uno.
That'd be good to me right now. Deep
dish pizza there in Chicago. 6-0, the Braves got the better of the Cubs on Sunday. But the Cubs won 2 out of 3 over the weekend and stopped the Braves, 14-game winning streak, I believe it was.
They had won 14 in a row.
With a improbable 1-0 win on Friday.
Yeah. The Cubs are giving up 20, 19, and 18 in three different games and then shut out the hottest team in baseball 1-0. That's baseball.
That's baseball.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so they took 2 out of 3 from the Braves.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I know.
I'm happy for you that the Cubs are able to win, because the Royals won 2 out of 3 as well.
Royals had a good weekend. Cubs had a good weekend. I don't know. What's going on?
Something. The world's hell's freezing over, apparently. You know,
so,
I don't know what's going on.
It's not freezing over, that's for sure. No, not around here, but
it's just too hot. The other teams are cracking under the heat. Yeah. And the Royals and Cubs are like, we got nothing to lose. We're good. Looking at Major League Baseball standings, I'll pull these up here. I haven't looked at them in a while, to be honest with you. Yankees have 11-game lead. They're 49-17 to AL East. That'd be horrible if they would flame out in the first round of the playoffs. The Tampa Bay, once again, solid, 36-30, 13 games back. Boston now 5 games over .500 at 13.5 back, but the Yankees in control of that division clearly. Minnesota, if the Blue Jays were in the Central, they'd be tied for first place, but they're in the East and they're back by 11 games. Wrong division. Cleveland now has come on. The Guardians are 1 game behind the Twins. The White Sox are 5 games back. And yes, the boys in blue are bringing up the rear in fifth or last at 23-42. In the AL West, the Astros have a 9.5-game lead over the Angels. Of course, the Angels had that long losing streak. They lost, 14 in a row? 12 in a row? Something like that. 14, I think. That put them backwards, and they fired their manager. And NL East, the Braves, despite winning 14 in a row recently, still trail the Mets by 5.5 games, but they're right back in it for a wild card. The Philadelphia Phillies are 36-32, but 8 games back. In the NL Central, Lorenzo Cain, the team he formerly played for, Milwaukee and the Cardinals are tied atop the division there, and it's a two-team race because Pittsburgh's 13 under, the Cubs are 16 under, and the Reds are 20 under. Ooh, look out. Cubs are only 2 games ahead of the Reds for last place in that division. Oh, boy, that'd be embarrassing.
Yes.
After the Reds started the year, 3-19? NL West, that's the best division. Dodgers have a half-game lead over San Diego, and San Francisco's 3 games back. Arizona, Colorado under .500, but that started off pretty well, but they've kind of cooled down as of late. So that's an update. You go to MLB.com for more. Colorado Avs won by a touchdown and extra point in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I did not get to see any of Game 2. I was gone doing stuff. Forgot what I was even doing. Don't even care what I was doing. Bottom line is, I was like, wow, 7-0. I watched Game 1. The Avs are so fast. They can score so quickly. And 7-0. So now Tampa, the thing is, the Avs simply did what they're supposed to do. They won their first two at home. So let's not sit here and say this series is over, just right. Like we talk about the NBA Finals when the Suns were up 2-0 last year. The series is not over. Tampa Bay wins Game 3 tonight, which will be on their home ice at 7 o'clock. They're two-time defending champion. Then all of a sudden, it's a brand-new series. But if the Avs win tonight, then you're sitting here going, no team in NHL playoff history that I'm aware of. Maybe there is, but I don't think it's happened. Stanley Cup Finals, it's been down 3-0, come back to win. So you're in the driver's seat, clearly, if you can win tonight, if you're the Avs. So it'd be interesting to see if the Avs are just happy and content. Tampa's going to play with a sense of urgency, going to have the hometown fans behind them. Should be a crazy atmosphere in Tampa tonight, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Think the Avs are going to go ahead and pull this off?
I think the Tampa Bay is going to... I went to check in on that game, not at the beginning, obviously, but I thought, oh, it might be late second, early third, somewhere around there. I turn it on, pops up, and they're talking about, should Tampa Bay pull the goalie? And then the graphic comes across the bottom. It's 5-0 in the second intermission. I'm like, well, all right, I guess... Plan B, go watch a weird movie. So, I think Colorado will take it. I saw where someone at the beginning of this year put a $25 bet on certain teams to win their championships, and he just needs the Avalanche to win it, and it will cash in $3,400. It was like Georgia to win college, the Rams.
That's all you're gonna get, $3,400.
Yeah, the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Must not bet very much.
He bet $25. Yeah. So
you think you get more than $3,400?
Yeah, none of them were, and the Golden State to win the NBA. So none of them were overwhelming favorites, obviously. But they were on the, I don't know, they weren't necessarily the last underdogs either.
Oh, no.
So there was another leg with the UFC. I don't remember what that one was, but he had to hit 5, and he's got 4 of them already, and he's probably rooting for the Avalanche to finish that out.
There has been a few 3-0 comebacks in NHL history, only one in Major League Baseball, of course, and I'm happy to say it was the Red Sox that came back and beat the Yankees. No matter how good the Yankees are the rest of eternity, the Red Sox will at least have that on.
Right.
1942 Stanley Cup Final. Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Red Wings. They were down 3-0 and came back and won that. 1975, the Islanders beat the Penguins. They're down 3-0. And 2010, second round, the Flyers are down 3-0. Came back and beat the Bruins 4-3. And it happened 2014, last time in NHL playoff history, which had been 8 years ago. In the first round, the Kings over the Sharks. Sharks are up 3-0. And the Kings came back and won. But it has not happened in the Stanley Cup Finals except for one time back in 1945, or 42. So that's the only time it's happened. So if the Lightning go down tonight, 3-0, they can point to 1942 and use that as, hey, it's been done before.
Right.
70-some years ago, 80 years ago. That's what that is.
You can't even bring anybody that was on that team for a pep talk.
Probably not,
but, you know.
Might not know where they are, if they are still there. U.S. Open golf over the weekend. There is a new champion of the U.S. Open.
And Matthew Fitzpatrick is a champion again at the Country Club. And Matthew Fitzpatrick has his first win on the PGA Tour, and it's a major title.
Matthew Fitzpatrick, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know much about this guy. Second highest ranked golfer in the world without a PGA Tour victory. Doesn't mean he's ranked second. Finally claimed a major as he wins in Massachusetts on Sunday. Yesterday, 2 birdies, no bogeys across the final 7 holes to clinch the tournament 6 under. He's 27 years of age, edged his 54-hole co-leader Wills Zalatoris and 22 Masters champion Scotty Scheffler by one stroke to hoist the trophy. So congratulations to Matt Fitzpatrick. When I saw Fitzpatrick, I'm like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is unretiring because he just retired. That's the Fitzpatrick that I am aware of. Minka Fitzpatrick is a safety for the Steelers. I believe he just got a pretty good deal the other day,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I don't remember the details, but
too much
soft.
For a safety, in my opinion, but it is what it is. They want to pay it great.
Saw this at the end, too, and funny, just happened to me. I don't know if it happened to anybody else, but, you know, saw Fitzpatrick missed the birdie putt that would have put him two ahead, that would have iced it, but he taps in for par. And Zalatoris gets up there to hit his, and all of a sudden the circle goes on my screen, starts buffering a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Not now. Like, right. just give me 30 seconds and then I'll turn you off and we can start over. But it came back in about a little bit, like, you know, just a few seconds later. But I'm like, oh man, don't do, you know, I want to know what happens.
That's a horrible time things buffer.
But it popped back up there, and he just about made that putt that would have tied it. And I was a little disappointed to hear they don't do the whole day playoff anymore for the U.S. Open. They just do a two-hole aggregate. But
it's a two-hole or a three-hole? Usually it's a three-hole.
Yeah, it might be a
probably
three-hole.
Three-hole,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I was like, oh, I was disappointed they don't do the full day 18 holes anymore, but he just missed that putt that would have tied it up. Scotty Scheffler was there. He hit two eagles from the fairway during the week to put him in the spot. But
that gives you a chance.
Yep.
College World Series is underway. Texas already eliminated. They were the favorites by Vegas. Kiss of death. That's too bad. Arkansas routes number 2 Stanford 17-2 in the most lopsided men's college World Series game in 34 years. Oklahoma beat Notre Dame 6-2. Oklahoma now waits till Wednesday. They're on the winner's bracket side. A&M beat Texas. You know what's the great thing about Texas is, who did Texas lose to as the first game? Notre Dame.
Yes.
So they lost to Notre Dame, and then they lost to Texas A&M. And A&M, I know, truly enjoyed eliminating Texas. 10-2 was the final there. Auburn and Stanford elimination game this afternoon at 1:00 on ESPN from Omaha. And Ole Miss Arkansas is a game at 6:00 tonight. That is not an elimination game. And then tomorrow at 1:00, A&M versus Notre Dame. That is an elimination game, I believe. Yes, it has to be because Notre Dame lost to Oklahoma. So, although for some reason they didn't put elimination game on that one, but did on the other one, that's on ESPN. So Oklahoma in pretty good shape right now. How could they win the softball and baseball national titles in the same year? That'd be pretty impressive.
That would be.
And then we know that Oklahoma's football is the third best sport that they have, or fourth. Perhaps. Maybe fifth. I don't know. Do they have a bowling program?
I don't know if they have a bowling or tennis or badminton program.
Texas won what? Rowing and bowling, and it was tennis, bowling, track and field.
Track and field was one of them.
And then when it gets to these other sports, they, you know, well, football, they really stink. Everybody knows that. They couldn't beat KU for crying out loud.
Texas it has to do it to itself, doesn't it? They get to good.
It's enjoyable to watch them do it to themselves.
Yeah, they get to be good at something, and then they say, oh, here comes Texas. And then they just flame out in the postseason or the bowl game or whatever it is that might push them over the top. But no, just can't quite get there. But, you know, that's a little jealousy, too. Pettiness from us because, you know, can't get a team to go to a bowl, to a bowl game.
It cracks me.
For a few years. But, you know, whatever.
Well, every year, Texas is overrated. And anything they're ranked in, they're almost always overrated. We know always in men's basketball, always in football. And, oh, this is your Chris Beard's got this team, man. This is a Final Four team. Nope. This team, you know, no matter what coach they put in, this is the top 10 team. Oh, yeah, they must be horrible developers of talent because they have one of the best recruiting classes every year. And last year, 5-7, can't even beat Kansas and Jared Casey, a walk-on from Plainville, for crying out loud, they can't cover. So it is kind of fun to see Texas struggle. And if they're going to struggle in the Big 12, they're definitely going to struggle in the SEC. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Oklahoma, what they're going to do in the SEC is going to be more interesting to me. from a football standpoint, because I think Oklahoma can hold their own a lot better than Texas in the SEC, but I could be wrong, and Venables will be the one leading them there. One more story before we let everybody go. This is kind of interesting. Cincinnati Reds pitcher Graham Ashcraft balked at the enforcement of an MLB rule after being told to remove his wedding ring from under his glove by umpires during Saturday's game against the Brewers. He was told to take the ring off his left hand during a foreign substance inspection in the first inning. Ashcraft was incredulous about the request to take his wedding ring off. As Major League Baseball issued an advisory this week, it would begin enforcing a rule on hand, finger, and wrist attachments. This rule is intended to prevent pitchers from wearing foreign substances on their hands. He goes, "You have to take your ring off," Ashcraft said post-game. I was like, "No. Why do I have to take my ring off? I shouldn't have to. Apparently it's some new rule they came up with yesterday." So, according to this rule, pitchers may not attach anything to either hand, any finger, or either wrist. The rule gives umpires the autonomy to determine whether any attachment should be considered a foreign substance. But in no case may the pitcher be allowed to pitch with such attachment to his hand, ring, hand, finger, or wrist. Although the rule had been on the books for some time, Reds manager David Bell shared that MLB umpires had only begun enforcing it on Friday. A memo was issued to teams earlier this week that the rule would soon begin to be enforced. Ashcraft ended up moving his wedding ring to his necklace chain for the remainder of the game, which turned into a game to forget as he gave up 8 hits, 6 runs, a season high in the Reds' 7-3 loss. So, interesting. This is the second time now we've heard of a rule that's been in existence by Major League Baseball for some period of time, and just now they're deciding to enforce it or get a memo to enforce it. Of course, the other rule was the position players can't pitch in a game that's 5 runs or less in difference. So if it's 9-4, they can't come in and pitch. But if it's 10-4, then, you know, Brett Phillips can come in and pitch for the Tampa Bay Rays, or Hunter Dozier can come and pitch for the Kansas City Royals. So this is the thing about baseball, and maybe there's other sports that do this I'm not aware of, but they openly admit they have rules they don't enforce. Like, I understand where we think there's a rule, but it really isn't a rule, right. So thus it's not enforced. What cracks me up is Major League Baseball, they have rules, but they just, like, arbitrarily decide, you know what, let's start this rule enforcement on Friday. It's been there forever. We've never enforced it, but now we're going to enforce it. Why didn't you enforce it at the very beginning? Because that was a rule from the beginning. Yes. So what's the point of rules if you don't, like I've said before, if you have no enforcement of a law, there's no need for a law.
Right.
Because nobody's going to follow it because they know there's no enforcement. If there is a law that you cannot speed in a 65-mile-an-hour zone, but there's nobody around to bust you with a ticket, you're going to more than likely just say, hey, nobody's going to catch me anyway. What's the point? Same thing here. What's the point of having rules like this until you actually enforce them? And then these managers and players do know most of the rules, or maybe even know it's on the books. Like, why is it now being enforced?
Yeah.
Like the position player thing.
Yeah. Like the NFL, but at least they'll tell you. They're like, we're going to emphasize, this is a rule, but we're going to emphasize it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Whether it's some weird thing that teams do on special teams that you're not allowed to do, that maybe they got away with a time or two, but now they're going to emphasize this rule. Like, Major League Baseball just flat out says, we got these rules, but we really haven't done anything with them for years. But now, on one hand, the pitcher should know better, I guess if there was a memo sent.
But this, obviously, this pitcher didn't know.
Right, well. Right. Yeah, so,
here's my thing. Here's my thing. If I had a wedding ring and I had to take it off, I'd be worried about losing it.
Right.
You know, that's a very important thing.
Yes.
If you value marriage and have a ring.
I mean, baseball pants, the back pocket's not the safest.
Probably not. You give it to somebody else, you trust them, so he put it on his chain, but if he didn't have a chain, he wouldn't been able to wear it. I guess he would put it in his pocket, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you forget it. I mean, and that's the thing. We're all creatures of habit. If you take, I never take my wedding ring off, but I just did. But if I sit it right here, and I walk off, and then, we have papers, and it falls on the floor, then I'm looking like, where's my ring go? Or I put it on the counter, and there's been one time my wife, I believe it was that happened, my wife's ring went down the drain, and we had to fish it out, if I remember correctly, because she had it and then accidentally bumped it, and it's not something she would do on a regular basis.
Right.
And so, you see, obviously, as a Major League Baseball pitcher, you always pitch with a wedding ring if you're married. Usually they pitch with the rings, and not always, maybe, but now you got to sit there and go, well, it's not a normal routine. I put it in my back pocket and I forget all about it. Although, yeah, I mean, it's just awkward and different.
Yeah.
Another thing, obviously threw him off. He didn't pitch well.
Yeah. I had a friend who would take his off and he would flip it. Like, he would just spin it. He'd
and kind of
hold
it.
He'd spin it. Kind of just has a nervous habit. And we were at a bar one night and he did that. And he lost the handle on it. And they had turned the lights down, the big overhead lights down, so it was dark, and we're just trying to find this thing off the sound that it made when it hit the ground, and you know, we're like asking people to pick up their feet and everything, and it was kind of embarrassing, but yeah, we found it, no harm. You know, I'm sure Amanda's not listening, so
I
guess you're in the clear there, but yeah, we found it, and so yeah, but yeah, I could see that. People put it on the top of the sink there to wash their hands or whatnot, and they knock it down into the drain. But, yeah, another thing, like, it's on his glove hand. Like, it was underneath his glove.
Yeah, so that's so not – how is that getting
it's
an
not
advantage?
It's not reflecting in the sun that might distract the batter. It's not something the ball is touching or coming off of. But I also have to wonder, like – can they get like tape pre-approved? Like if you had a blister on a finger, or
I'm sure they can,
or something. Like yeah,
you
like,
would
no,
hope so.
No attachments. I don't. I mean, just seeing, or you had a fingernail that got ripped or something. You have to tape that up. But yeah, kind of seems arbitrary to just start enforcing rules
on Friday.
On a Friday,
not
in the
beginning
of
the week.
You're 65 games into the season, and oh, you can't put anything on your hand now. I could see if, you know, I don't know, if a guy accidentally kept it on, went to go out to pitch, and it was a day game, and the sun was, I don't know. It just seems like, if it happened and it distracted a batter or something, then I could see this whole thing being a thing. But it just doesn't seem like any of that happened. And this guy got, you know, and then, you know, he already pitched an inning with it on because they checked his glove after the inning for the foreign substance thing.
Yeah. Oh, you have a ring.
Yeah.
Take it off.
Right. So,
I've had this discussion with people before in regards to what is the first day of the week. Is it Monday or is it Sunday? Technically, it's Sunday.
Right.
I always think of the first day of week as work. So yeah. I think of Sunday as the final day, which is the last day of rest. I think of you work 5 days or six. Sunday is your seventh day. That's the day of rest. I know that's technically not right. You look at a calendar. All you have to do is look at a calendar. Yeah. Sunday's the first day of the week, all right? So why are we starting the enforcement of the rule on a Friday? Like, why don't you just say, hey, starting Monday or Sunday?
Right.
That would be acceptable anywhere. But you know what, guys? Yeah, you can do that through Thursday. But Friday, we're really going to crack down on this because it's a big weekend of baseball. Yeah. It seems to be a little bit, well, it is arbitrary, to be quite honest. But that's Major League Baseball. That's how they are. They're reactive. They're not proactive. I've always said that, and I'll say that till I die. Baseball is just a reactive organization instead of being proactive. And all you got to do is see what happened with the lockout. You know, they have stoppages in play more than any other sport because of labor issues. They're not proactive most of the time. They weren't proactive with the All-Star game that ended in a tie, for crying out loud. There's all kinds of things that happen with Major League Baseball. Another example, it's like, oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, we got that rule. Oh yeah, we haven't been enforcing it. Why not? I don't know. Well, let's start it Friday. Okay.
Speaking of the lockout and all that stuff, people didn't know, like, there's a certain number of players that didn't know how much they were going to get paid for the season because they just now did their arbitration hearings. This will usually go
Nicky
on.
Nicky Lopez lost his.
Yeah,
they
usually all go in the offseason, obviously, with the lockout. You don't do that. But, like, can't you find a way to get that done in the ramp-up time, in the spring training time, or at least the first part of the season, in the April part of the season, find a way to get that done so these players and or the teams know their budget and know what they're going to be spending and or receiving. I don't know. Just seems like a weird thing to me. But
you know, sometimes in Major League Baseball, or not just baseball, but sports in general, you know of a contract that was signed. Some free agent leaves and goes somewhere else, and you just know it's not going to go well. You just you're like, you know what? That's a guy that chased them. Like Eric Decker, I've mentioned this before. When guys that leave Peyton Manning and Tom Brady just usually don't do as well.
Right.
You know, like Tyreek Hill. That's going to – I don't know if it's going to be a great deal for the Dolphins. It's a great deal for Tyreek Hill. He's got his guaranteed money, so I'm not saying it's a bad deal for him. But in regards to some players that have it pretty good and end up going somewhere else because they chase the money, and then they never become top of mind again. And it happens a lot in baseball with the guaranteed money. It's guaranteed contracts. You have the guaranteed money. That's a key now in the NFL, signing bonus, all that. But in baseball, they're guaranteed, fully guaranteed contracts. And this was one that – when I saw what the Angels are known for having horrible contracts. Like when Josh Hamilton signed with the Angels, I thought that's a bad contract. Yeah. When Albert Pujols signed with the Angels, like that's a bad contract. CJ Wilson signing with the Angels, like that's a bad contract. And they've all been bad contracts. Albert Pujols was probably the better of the three, and still they signed him that a huge deal when he's already in his 30s. And the Angels did it again with somebody else, which I'll get to in a moment. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the Pujols one. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. You, all right. You had to sign him. You had to pay him a lot to get him there, obviously, to leave his team. But, you know, even knowing you had the best player in baseball at that time or one of, you're like, oh, my God, how long is this? And you're going to be paying him millions and millions, like double, like $25, $30 million when he's 38, 39 years old, and, you know, you're right. It was a bad contract. Yep. And
well, so the Angels are the king of the bad contracts, because I'm going to tell you another one, and this I knew. I mean, I just knew that it wasn't probably going to be a good fit, and I thought it wasn't a good contract. But the LA Angels on Friday announced that third baseman Anthony Rendon is undergoing season-ending surgery to repair his right wrist. Rendon has been sidelined since June 14th. He's 32. He sees his season end with a slash line, batting average of .228, five homers in 45 games. He's in the third year of a seven-year deal. So at 29, he got the seven-year deal. Seven-year, $245 million contract. He's dealt with a number of injuries. In 2021, he only played last year in 58 games. Prior to that, of course, it was just 60 games due to COVID and so forth and so on. Anyway, bottom line is there's still $150 million to pay to a guy that's 32 that can't stay healthy and hasn't done anything for the Angels. And they're on the hook for that for quite some time.
Yep.
Albert Pujols' contract, by the way, I'm going to pull this up here. They're just going to show the one with the Cardinals. I wanted to see his get career earnings. Let me pull that one up here. So the Angels... Of course, Albert Pujols is 42, so he 41, 40. So 40, yeah. At 40, he was making $29 million for the Angels on that contract. That's not bad for a 40-year-old guy. I'm 46. I'd love to take a percentage of that. That's it.
Right.
3%, 2.5%, 1.25%, whatever. I'm not picky.
Right.
I'd go with that. His years with the Angels, Pujols' contract was $16 million, 12, 16, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Of course, 2020 prorated with COVID and everything. 29.5 when he was 40. Hmm. So paid him more as he declined. Paid him less when he was in his prime because it was a backloaded contract, but yet all guaranteed. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Career earnings, does it actually add them all up here? Total cash. Albert Pujols in his career, just an example, $341 million he's made off of baseball contracts. And let me ask you, and since we're speaking about Albert Pujols, this final thing on the show, we'll let everybody go. Why doesn't Albert Pujols get, like he got a standing ovation the other night. I forgot where he was at. Manny Machado has mentioned this, and I think it's a fair point. He goes, why isn't there this big send-off? This is Albert Pujols' last year. Pujols has said this is his last year. Why isn't Major League Baseball making – they made a big deal about Derek Jeter. Why don't you make – Albert Pujols, I could argue – why? There's no doubt Albert Pujols to me was a better hitter than Derek Jeter.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Yes.
Albert Pujols is a better hitter. Many, they called him a machine for crying out loud. And for him to put up – we looked up his numbers before. Albert Pujols' numbers are mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling, and how consistent he was for 10 to 15 years, it's absolutely blows your mind. And we have these big send-offs for Coach K, and we have send-offs for other players, and Derek Jeter was one of them. I know there's others. But why isn't Albert Pujols getting more run nationally for the great player that he is? Because he's not in New York? He's not. He was in L.A.,
right.
But he didn't do he did most of his work. You know, his best years were, of course, in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, I always said George Brett would have been a much bigger deal, obviously, if he'd been a Yankee. And, of course, anybody would be. But Albert Pujols' career numbers, he has 683 homers. He probably won't get to 700. That's too bad, because he might have, there was no COVID, he probably would have got there.
Right.
So he's going to fall just short of 700 homers. He has 2,166 RBIs. His career batting average is 296, and that's only gone down. He was over 300 until the last 6-7 years, where he's gone down in batting average. But, I mean, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of his 22 years he's been receiving MVP votes. 13. Huh. And 12 years in a row at one point, and he won 3 MVPs. He was runner-up 3 different times, actually 4 different times. Think about that. 7 times in his career, 7 different seasons, he was voted either MVP or runner-up to MVP. That's mind-boggling.
Right.
And he didn't get hurt. He didn't get hurt until he was 33. Yeah. He played 160, 157, 160, 161. I mean, he rarely was hurt. He led the league in runs scored 5 times, hits 1 time. He led the league in homers twice, OPS 3 times, OPS plus 4 times, total bases 5 times. Yeah, he hit in some double plays. Intentionally walked 44 times 1 year. Not as much as Bonds, of course, but still a lot. He should be getting all kinds of glory right now, making his roundabouts across Major League Baseball. And on top of that, he's playing on a Cardinals team that's in first place. Maybe he doesn't want to be a distraction, this and that. But I don't think Derek Jeter went out and said, I want a send-off tour.
Right.
I know some people think Coach K did. But but you know, I don't think Jeter was sitting going, I want this to be about me. He was a team player. Albert Pujols is a team player. But Manny Machado said it the other day. He said, why isn't Albert Pujols getting more run for this being his last year? Why aren't there a whole bunch of things being presented to him at every single ballpark that he goes to? And it's a fair point.
Yeah. Part of me wonders.
World Series champion, by the way,
right,
too.
Right. Part of me wonders if maybe Pujols himself said,
think he's so made
let's
it
not
clear.
Do this. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Another thing is, even with the Jeter thing, and now you could argue the same thing with Albert here, that maybe the end came a couple years too late, and that was the thing with Jeter. It's like, oh, well, now we're going to, you know, give him, you know, people love Jeter and people hated Jeter, and that just comes with being a Yankee.
Well, yes.
And
people are jealous because you win, mm-hmm. obviously.
So there was a little backlash on the whole, you know, show for Derek Jeter at the end. But that's being a Yankee. That's part of that deal. Three, I just wonder, and I don't know if this is smart. I don't know. I wonder if teams like in St. Louis's division are waiting till the second half of the year to do this stuff, like the last time St. Louis comes into town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no reason why, you know, and I don't know the Cardinals' schedule verbatim offhand, but, you know, I could see where maybe the Cubs, the Brewers, Pirates are kind of maybe waiting to the second half of the season to do something the last time they come to town. But, you know, the West Coast teams, they only go out there once. You know, Kansas City, you're only going once.
Right. Could have already done it when it was.
Right.
Yeah.
The team that or the division that they're playing in the American League for the interleague games, you're only going out there once. And we haven't seen any of these ceremonies or anything. They come out and bring them a rocking chair or a piece of the scoreboard or whatever it is that makes that town or stadium kind of famous, or the, like I said, the rocking chair is a joke for the retirement. But yeah, I don't, Manny Machado has a good point. I don't know why we're not seeing any of that for Albert this year. Okay, unless it's just most of them are just gonna wait, or unless Albert said I just don't want this. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at Albert Pujols, so his numbers are crazy. And by the way, somebody already did a comparison between Jeter and Pujols. OPS, Pujols 100 points higher in his career. Yeah. That's not even close. Hits, very close. Doubles, 150 more for Pujols. All-star games, Jeter had 4 more all-star games, which, you know, sometimes that's popularity.
Right.
And so forth and so on. But it's not about comparing Jeter to Pujols, other than Jeter got his big send-off every single place he went. Why doesn't Pujols? Let's see here. So this is Pujols. If he gets 5 more home runs, he'll pass Alex Rodriguez on a home run chart, which would mean there's only 3 guys that'll be ahead of him all time in home runs.
Right.
That would be, of course, Barry Bonds with an asterisk, according to some, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth. Only 3 guys will have more home runs in the history of baseball than Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols has never been suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. There's nothing there to prove anything. Of course, Barry Bonds has been had a cloud over his head for many, many, many times.
I don't believe he showed up on any of those lists that even implied that he might have done it. I don't think
so.
No.
So how about this? So in all-time Major League Baseball history, in the history of the game, Albert Pujols is 3rd in runs batted in, trailing only Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth. He's 5th in home runs. He will be 4th if he gets 5 more ahead of A-Rod. One of these says A-Rod has... We might have to double-check on that, because 2 different stories of A-Rod with a different amount of home runs. How do you possibly get that wrong? let me see if I can find A-Rod's home runs here. Home run, 696. Okay, so this other one had it wrong. So he would need to get, Pujols' home runs, he's a 683. He would need 14 more home runs this year to pass A-Rod. That probably won't happen. So he'll probably be 5th. But A-Rod, of course, we know all about how he cheated. Mm-hmm. So Pujols, you could really, many people are going to say he is the 3rd. He's 5th in total bases in the history of baseball. The only guys with more total bases than Albert Pujols is Hank Aaron, Stan Musial, Willie Mays, and Barry Bonds. And I believe, yes, he's passed Bonds on the total bases. So now he's 4th all-time there. So he's 5th all-time in home runs, 3rd all-time in runs batted in, 4th in all-time in total bases, which means he's getting doubles, he's getting tons of base hits, so forth and so on. And then in regards to hits, let's see if I can find his here. Okay, careers, hits, home runs, Pujols, where's the hits one? There we go, hits. Albert Pujols is 9th all-time in hits. So it's not like he's just hitting home runs.
Right. So he's top 10 in about every offensive category.
In the history of the game.
Right.
In the history of the game. He came close to winning Triple Crown a couple times. It's pretty amazing stuff. I'm going to go back. I'm going to see here. Where else does he rank? That's career leaders. They're not giving me everything here that I want. But the point being is he's top 5 or top 10 in about every single offensive category known to man in Major League Baseball history.
This has him 8th in OPS, which is like a newer kind of stat category, but
which is huge.
Which a lot of people
more important
really
batting
like
average
and use that to rank players, and so he would be 8th in that. So but to answer that question, I don't know if Albert said I want this or I don't want this, or, but it wouldn't be, how hard would it be to come out there and hand him a plaque or, before the last game of each series or I don't know, or the first game of the series?
It should get more attention.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And Manny Machado was correct. He's absolutely correct. And this is a guy that was, what was he, a 40 round pick? If I remember right, passed over Independence right there in the backyard of the Royals. Of course, mm-hmm. many, many teams passed on him. And he's back with the Cardinals where he belongs. I think it's great that he finished career there. I'm trying to find out here. Oh, here's a few more things about Albert Pujols. He is a 10-time All-Star, 2-time World Champion, 3-time MVP, runner-up 4 other times, Rookie of the Year, NLCS MVP. Oh, yeah, he's won a Gold Glove twice, so he's a complete player. 6-time Silver Slugger Award winner, Roberto Clemente Award winner, Was a batting champion 1 year with batting average. Two times he led the league in home runs. RBI leader in 2010. And that's not bad because he was drafted. Why don't they have this on here? Was it a 40th round? I wanted to say it was a 40th round. I don't know why I can't find this right here. But the bottom line is he wasn't, as we know, and all he did is turn into one of the best players in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols was a 13th round. I'm thinking Piazza was like 60 some round.
Yeah.
But still, 13th round.
That's not.
He was a 402nd pick in 1999. 401 players were deemed to be better than Albert Pujols on the draft in 1999. And safe to say, not a single one is better than Albert Pujols.
So we just went through the standings. And here's the risk of not doing this while he's there. We just went through the standings. The Cardinals are in it, right? So any other team, it's risky or dangerous to have a 42-year-old, one-position or designated hitter only type person on your roster these days.
Mm-hmm.
You need a little more roster flexibility, or that's going to be one of the last guys on your roster. And so now I know there's sentimental value to Albert and St. Louis, so they might hold off on something like that. But say Albert really struggles here for 6-8 weeks.
He's not on the team.
And the Cardinals need to make a move to stay in the race. You run the risk of Albert, you know, getting like Lorenzo Cain, DFA'd or something like that. You know, I'm sure the Cardinals will try to hold off and not do this unless it is absolutely necessary because of the sentimental value that Albert would have for St. Louis. But he is a 42-year-old guy with only one, you know, and I don't even know if he plays first base that much anymore. So,
well, it's a DH now because NL's got DH now.
Yeah, so that's tough to hold on to these days in baseball. So you run that risk, and at 42, you run the risk of him being injured at some point, too.
It's a good point that you bring up here.
Yeah, so
it might not be. I think the Cardinals will have him on there no matter what. But you, I mean, it's possible.
If you're going to do it, you should do it.
Or Pujols may say, listen, you know, like Cain did. They had a mutual understanding saying, go ahead. I don't want to hold the team back.
Right.
Albert Pujols is that type of guy.
Yeah.
So, that's another great point. But Manny Machado, I think, has an outstanding point.
What's the saying? Give the people their flowers while they're around to deserve it.
Yeah. Put them in the Hall of Fame before they die.
Yeah.
Those type of things, right?
Yep.
So Albert so far hitting .202. 109 at bats with the Cardinals. He's hit 4 homers, 16 RBIs. Yes, we know this is the end. This is his final year.
But that's a fringe player on any other roster.
Oh, yeah. It might not. Yeah, he absolutely is a fringe player. You're absolutely right about that. So, but maybe some experience as a pinch hitter in the playoffs would be big. And so that's probably what they'll do. They'll have a bat off the bench and they'd keep him on the roster. But yeah, he's only going to DH. He's 42. He's gotten older and longer in the tooth. But there's not a Major League Baseball player in the modern era that was more consistent from the age of 21 all the way to 37.
Yeah.
Think about this. That's crazy. From 2001 to 2017, Albert Pujols' lowest amount of RBIs was 95 in a season.
So as far as bad contracts go, we knew it would be bad at the
end. It's bad for the Angels.
But I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me if somebody's overpaid.
Well, it's not your money. Who cares?
When Albert is, you know, when Albert has done that for so many years in his career, you're like, yeah, if he's overpaid at the end for a couple of years, so be it. But he deserved it in the middle, so, you know, I'll let
it
go.
And
you're right, it's not my money.
That's not your money, so why do you care? Albert Pujols, in regards to baseball terms and in regards to in sports terms, because when I want to say it this way, because people hear me say Albert Pujols deserved and earned every one of the $341 million. No. I'm not talking everyday life. I'm talking in regards to sports. Yes, he deserves that money.
In his circle of life.
In his circle of life, he does deserve that amount compared to some other guys that are getting big contracts like Anthony Rendon. $200-some million contract, and he hasn't done anything close to what Albert Pujols
has done. He's been a good player, but they kind of paid after a career year.
And the Nationals won a World Series.
Yeah, and the Nationals won the World. Yeah, and so you paid at the very top, and you're not getting...
Overpay to get a guy, and then you pay for it for many years to come. Yeah. But Albert Pujols, man, telling you, one of the best players that ever lived. And somehow, to some and to many, still gets overlooked.
Yeah.
But he is highly appreciated in St. Louis, and rightfully so.